This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dearest community members, my name is Kalisha Bennett, and inshallah tonight I'm here on behalf of National Zakat Foundation to give a talk called Losing My Iman, Holding Onto the Rope in Difficult Times. And inshallah, you are here tuning in, watching, listening. Perhaps you've gone through some kind of difficult time. Perhaps you feel worried about your iman, or perhaps you want to look for your iman and maintain it and strengthen it, inshallah. Whatever the reason behind why you're tuning in, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a source of reward for you and grant you the benefit from what we discussed today, inshallah, and strengthen all of us in our iman as individuals and a collective, inshallah. All right, so for anyone who's tuning in, just to navigate, if you're watching on Facebook, feel free to write any questions along the way. Inshallah, the team will let us know if there's any questions or comments on there. If you have individuals here, a couple of special people tuning in on Zoom, feel free to write in the chat box. So we want this to be, inshallah, interactive and engaging. So we don't want you sitting there passively. Just connect with what we're discussing, inshallah, to be able to maybe take away a few gems, internalize a few points, and have some takeaways that you can put into action, inshallah. So we're looking at a time where 19 lockdowns, we're being tested, perhaps people have lost their jobs. There are various different struggles that people might be experiencing. Even the social isolation can be really heavy and daunting for people. And now, subhanAllah, we're in the month of Ramadan. And in people, activity, energy of being around other people, perhaps you're more introverted, perhaps you're more extroverted, and you get energy from being around people. This time of being in social isolation might have a great impact on your emotional, psychological, and spiritual well-being. And this talk being entitled Losing My Iman, we want to really think about, like, when we're in tests, what can cause us to lose our iman, or what can cause our iman to drop or to lower during such back in Perth today. And the Sheikh was saying that he's really worried about the community, because for the mosque, this is something which is pivotal and central to the Muslim community, being able to connect with and engage with the mosque and our community members and people from our faith and worship side by side numerous times throughout the day, or as a minimum on the Friday Jum'ah, or during Ramadan having Taraweeh. It's a great source collective. When they're sharing to me that if this goes on any longer, what will the impact be on the iman of our community, and particularly our brothers, you know, our brothers who aren't able to go for the 5 daily prayers and connect with each other and be in that space of worship and tranquility of the masjid, subhanAllah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate our situations so that we can get back into our places of worship, back into our masjid. Sajid, learning and connection. And you know that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends when we're in gatherings of remembrance, and the physical gathering has an energy about it, subhanAllah. But perhaps this gathering, I know it's virtual, it's digital, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send His angels and His rahmah down and His forgiveness upon all of our homes as we gather together virtually to learn and just be reminded for His sake. So to be honest, there are thousands more better speakers than me with much more knowledge than me and scholars to speak on this topic who are going to share with you, inshallah. There are community who have been through immense tests, and if we knew their lives and we knew their stories, we would wonder how did they hold on to their iman despite being tested like that. So I'm not anyone special in terms of knowledge or experience, but I am a human being. And like you, yeah, you've probably experienced I have been through all those various levels. Make sure you're watching on Facebook to share this video, inshallah, so that others in your network can benefit. Especially now, we have almost every night of the week, National Zakat Foundation have online talks and reminders that you can benefit the community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, asking a question, do you believe, and although Allah knows all that put for before putting them to test, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 29, verse 2 and 3. So I repeated this where Allah, and let's reflect, what are the tests of our times? What are the tests that you might be going through, that I might be going through, that our community members might be experiencing, that our youth might be experiencing, that globally people in different countries and different lands might be being tested in their families and related with loss of life, death happening close to them. People are tested with injustice and oppression. People are tested with abuse. People are tested with their mental and types of wars and displaced us happening to us, happening internally within us, happening within our homes, happening within our communities, and happening even globally as a global affliction or test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we've got to think about our tests in the perspective of no one. Sometimes we might think, I'm struggling with something and this test is so heavy for me. And then we might think, but you know what? Someone else's test, it's so much harder than mine. And we belittle our own struggles. We think that our struggles don't mean anything, that our struggles, shouldn't cause us to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When in reality, we shouldn't judge or weigh whatever tests anyone might be going through. We are tested according to our individual in Australia. We're not living in torn, but it doesn't mean that our tests are any easier. Sometimes to be tested with a certain type of ease is a difficult test within itself, and something that people might really struggle with, in the fact that they're blessed with ease. Or we might think that, because we're tested, for example, in some some places there's a lot in anxiety despite having those many comforts. It doesn't mean that that test is any less or any more or less difficult than someone who's tested with, homelessness, or someone who's tested with, some kind of oppressor living, or ruling in their country. So let's not think about our tests in terms of comparing them to each other and weighing them up against each other. when we look at our test circumstances they might be occurring under, our tests have effects on us. Some people become very traumatized by their tests. Yeah, they can't get it out of their minds. They can't function. They have almost post-traumatic stress disorders from their tests. Some people become very psychologically disturbed. They cannot, they don't live a normal. Healthy lectionary that when they're tested out in either the positive or the negative. So some people are tested and then their reaction is to really just fall off the path totally. They let go of themselves and then they turn to escapism through drugs, alcohol, or whatever different vices they might be inclined towards. But some people become very triggered by their tests, that now they create greater meanings that, okay, this situation has happened. Now it means, the world's out to get me. Everything's against me. Some people become very unstable from their tests. They don't cope well. They don't continue to strive and thrive. They become very debilitated even in their Islam, in their deen. And for some people, the test causes their iman to drop. It causes them to really lose a grip on their Islamic routines and practice, their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they're getting caught up in the test as opposed in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cry, they complain, they feel very despondent, they become very unsettled, unhappy. Some people become very afraid from their tests. It causes them to be fearful, mistrusting. They feel like they don't have a grip on their lives or the world because of whatever struggle or situation they might be going through. So when we look at the variation of how many tests can befall us, and when we look at the reactions to the tests potentially, that we can become very impacted and affected by them psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, it can really be unsettling. But if we know that tests are a part of life, then we've got to have a response mechanism ready to go. We have to have a response mechanism planned for when tests come, because if the tests are inevitable and the tests are a part of life, then we need to know how to cope with the tests. And alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we have that mapped out for us. We have ways to cope with healthy psychology, spiritual practice. We have how to channel our emotions. We have all of this, alhamdulillah, in our religion. So we have the toolbox. We have the first aid kit for when tests come, when we are wounded by life, when we are impacted, hurt, damaged by what happens to us or around us. We have a first aid kit. We have to help us process and heal wounds, the wounds of life. So tests are a part of life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this. He says in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 155, he says, "And certainly we shall test you with some and fruits, but give glad tidings to the sabirun, the patient, who when they're afflicted with calamity, they say, truly to Allah we belong and to him we shall return." And we know this, right? When we're tested, we say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." They are those on whom are the salawat. They're blessed and they'll be forgiven from their Lord and those who will receive his mercy. And it is they who are the guided ones. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and certainly guaranteed, we will test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives, and is it going to be some kind of suffering, some kind of loss, some kind of state of fear, of insecurity? So if we know that in life we are definitely going to be tested, then let's be ready. Let's be prepared. Let's know that even when life feels super comfortable, that there's a test just around the corner. thing for us, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who governs our lives. And you know, we do not know what lies ahead of us, but what lies ahead of us is decreed and written, and we are headed towards that. So we are always just prepared. And how do we prepare ourselves? Inshallah, we should be learning enough of our religion, enough of our teachings, our Islamic traditions, to be able to have that toolkit. So when we look at being tested, let's ask ourselves, why are we tested? Because if we know why we're tested, and we know that there are certain reasons behind why we're tested, when the testing times come, we are able to understand such reasons. Tested often when questioned, they'll say, why? Why is this happening to me? Why does this, you know, why do we have to go through this? Why has it, you know, why has this, you know, come to my life? And if we have the answers, then we won't ask why. We'll have reassurance and we'll trust that there are bigger reasons why. And rather than feeling fearful, feeling ill-equipped, feeling prepared, feeling subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there are any issue, visual audio, just let me know, inshallah, so that I'm aware. So why are we tested? Number one, we are tested because we were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then things will happen and occur in our lives which will call us back to that worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that I created jinn and mankind only to worship me. Yeah, illallah. So in life, what happens is sometimes we get too comfortable. Sometimes we are cruising along, life feels okay, it's cool, and we might become lax in that worship. When we're tested, what is the natural reaction? When people go through difficult times, they usually call on God. They usually get a bit shaken up enough to think about their spiritual state, enough to think about, okay, I don't have power or control in this situation. I need to depend for us as Muslims, we need worship and obedience. So we were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We made a promise to him before we were sent to this earth, before we came into the existence of this life. We made a pact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, promising that we would worship him. So we need to fulfill that promise of worshiping him. So when a difficult time comes, we know, okay, let me turn to my Lord. The second reason, purify us and wash away our sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, perhaps you dislike a thing and Allah makes therein much good, in chapter 4, verse 19. So sometimes we're tested with things and we don't like it. We don't like how it feels. We don't like how it tastes. We don't like the experience of it. But within it, there is good. Within it, there is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Within that pain that you might be experiencing, whether it's physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual, whatever the pain is that you're struggling through, know that it is a way for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive your sins. It's a purification. So when you feel that burn, that angst of wishing and wanting to not be in that situation, when you are being patient, know that there is compensation for that. There is goodness on the other side of that. There is a bigger picture. You might not like it, but there's good in it. When you're able to tell yourself that, I don't like this situation, this is anything, difficulty, then you're going to come out a winner, inshallah. Number three is a test can sometimes replace a worse misfortune. So, you know, when sometimes there are, you know, situations where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us with something, perhaps there was something worse lined up for us. And again, it takes us good in that thing. And, you know, the test might seem difficult during it, but really we don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowing. He knows what he has protected us from of a greater calamity. So even within a difficult situation, we still show gratitude. We say, Alhamdulillah, that it's me. Tested, we didn't be able to cope with it because we're more than they can handle. And we have to realize this, subhanAllah, that, you know, having a greater vision, seeing beyond what is apparent before us and knowing that there is khair in every situation that we go through. So again, coming back to when you're tested and you're asking yourself, why is this happening? Why me? Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you for that test specifically, and He has chosen that to it. He knows that you are being protected from a greater misfortune because of that test. He knows that He is forgiving you because of what you will endure from that test. He knows that He's testing you with that to call you back to His worship. Look at all these beautiful, positive reasons behind the things that we're tested with. Number four is tests are given to us to strengthen our focal point for us. With this talk being called losing my faith, losing my iman. When we're tested, we're not tested so that we drop our iman, that we lose our iman. We are tested for us to strengthen our iman. It's like a time for us to work the muscle of iman, to exercise it, to push it to greater heights. And it's one of the most sad and unfortunate things. You know, maybe you know someone close to you who went through a testing situation, and because of that situation, they disappeared, or they, you know, they dropped out of the community. They stopped practicing Islam. It broke them. You know, their situation overcame them. And instead of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they turn away from Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith recorded in Bukhari, the people who face the most difficult tests are the prophets, then the righteous, then them, then those following them in degree. A person is tried according to his religion. So if there is firmness in his religion, then the trial is increased. And if there is weakness, then it is lightened. Verily, a trial remains with a servant until he walks the earth having no sin left upon him. So your test that you're going through, or that you might meet in the future, is a means for you to be able to be left with no sins left on you, because you carried the weight, the burden of that test situation, that whatever test Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, according to your level of faith, He's given you the exact test to exercise your faith, to strengthen your faith, that you can, inshallah, end up with no sin left on you because of that test. And we know that when we are tested, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, no calamity falls because of it, even the prick of one sin, right? You might get a prick on your finger. It's physical pain for that moment. And if you can be patient and go, subhanAllah, you know, alhamdulillah, like, just be patient, inshallah, not swearing when you get pricked by that thorn, that you're sins are forgiven because of that pain that you experienced. And likewise, when you are going through emotional turmoil, psychological turmoil, loss of life or wealth, heart, that disturb your mind, that challenge you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving you of your sins if you can just hold on and ride through it, you know. So it's about holding your breath until that sin passes, so you can then kind of take a breath again. And you know, when you hold your breath under the water, for example, and you know, maybe you've done this, you know, when you were younger with your cousins or your siblings, and you have a competition to hold your breath. And you know, when you hold your breath and you want to last the longest, and you get to a point when you're holding your breath a bit longer, and then you discover prior to that you thought you couldn't handle it anymore. What is it doing? It's teaching you that you can handle more than you thought you could, subhanAllah. And, you know, when it comes to our tests in life, right when you think you're at your breaking point, I can't handle this test, hold on just a little bit longer and you'll surprise yourself. You hold on that little bit longer and then the test will pass. When we look at our tests, none of them are forever. The tests come, they flow in and then they flow out, and then another one comes. They come in waves. Sometimes you get one wave after the other. Sometimes you get a few waves in one go, yeah? But no test will, last from without relief. There will always be relief. When we're told this, that, you know, after hardship comes relief. And we, again, you trust that. Yes, it's hard now. The fifth reason behind why Allah tests someone that he loves. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith recorded in Bukhari, whenever Allah wills good for a person, he subjects them to adversity. If he wants good for you, he's going to test you, to make you stronger. And I want you to think back, you know, in your life, massive moments in time, tests that were maybe not so intense, but they were drawn out long tests. All of these tests tested, of course, at the time, like it was hard, it didn't feel good. But those were the moments, those were the times, the stages, the lessons that I learned that really shaped me, that allowed me to see what I was potentially like how strong I was. Really see tests as something that we meet with grace. We don't resist them. We don't run away. We don't pretend and ignore. We don't band-aid them by distracting ourselves. We face the tests head on and we be patient and we remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he loves us. That's why he's testing us. When we react to our tests and our hardships with sabr or patience and contentment with Allah's decree, it will inshallah bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he loves the patient one. Allah loves the one who is patient. And you know, one of the we all learn about patience and what patience is. And I think one of the most things that I heard about strike, that the epitome of what patience is and what it means, is that when something happens in that moment, you are patient. You don't lose it. You don't go hysterical. You don't go into shock. You're like, in that moment, you accept this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you embrace it. You deal with it. You hold on to, you know, you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that very moment. And that is true patience. And, you know, I remember my Quran, auntie, a sister, a lady who was in a student of the Quran, and that she got a phone call while she was in her Quran class, and she was notified, I think, that her husband and her son had been in a crash and it wasn't looking good. And in that moment, subhanAllah, the sister told the teacher, you know, something's happened, I need to go to the hospital, can I be dismissed from class? Before she even heads off to the hospital, goes and in that moment of calamity, I reflect on it because I just feel in myself, I'm like, would I do that in that moment? Or would I be like, keys, car, going? You know, what would our state of iman be in a moment where we are tested like that, with the loss of the lives of our loved ones, or maybe all of our loved ones in a moment, in an instant? Could we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that first strike? Would we ourselves? And this is why I'm stable and strong when the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. So I want you to reflect on a time when you were tested. How did you get through it? What did you do in upon where, you know, you didn't react so well to those tests? And think about your pitfalls, think about where you went wrong, and then the tests that you have succeeded in, that you did come out stronger from. How did you come out stronger? And inshallah, you have the contrast for yourself to look at and reflect up the correct method and maybe the not so strong method, or sometimes people fall into the incorrect method of dealing with the tests. So it's very important to be aware of how you do respond, how you have responded, and how you hope to respond. Because ultimately, again, like we mentioned earlier, we're going to be tested. It's a guarantee. Allah says, certainly we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives, and fruits. But if glad times strike, they're rock solid. And we want to aim to be able to be believers who are like that and have gracious patience and embracement of the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before we close off, a few reminder points. What is the way in which we can think about hardships to help us overcome them? So for the very proactive people, inshallah, who are taking notes right now, remember a reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person that he tests. So when you see your Lord from your creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're able to feel like honored. That Allah tested me with this, and this is a source of honor, inshallah, if I deal with this test well. Remember and remind yourself that everything comes from Allah and will return to Allah. Usually the biggest tests in life are a loss of something. But how can we lose something that we never had? Whenever returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you lift the veil, the illusion of us ever really owning anything, including our own selves, our own lives, we own nothing. We don't own our children. We don't own our wealth. We don't own our homes. We don't own our status, our livelihood, our spouses, our possessions, our success. We don't own any of that. All of it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He grants all certain amount of time and He takes it back. So when we lose things, ultimately it's going back to its originator, back to its owner. It was a temporary loan. So if we can see it in that way, then we're able to detach easier. Because often our grief that we experience is more so an attachment to thinking that something was ours or that we had ownerships or rights to something. So remember that everything comes from Allah and will return to Allah. And you know, all the thing that I try to do whenever I'm in a sticky situation, I'm like, I don't know how to deal with this. What do? I ask myself, what is the lesson in this test? There's a great lesson in every test that we go through, many lessons, but always think about it. What is the lesson for me specifically? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to change in me or want me to change in myself through this test? Because it's a means, yes, of purification of sins, but also in psychology, in your mental thing, you know, state and your emotional dependencies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to clean that all out, and He will help you to clean all of that out if when you are dealing with tests, that you meet it and you're able to check in with yourself. Say, for example, you lost your job and you're extremely distressed because now your finances are in a really difficult situation. You now have to question yourself. You have to question what are your skills that you need to build upon, your reliance and depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the provider. What can you do practically to sort out your financial situation and really, you know, question so many different aspects of yourself just from that one test. So always ask yourself, you should, you know, I feel like people should write it somewhere. What is Allah trying to teach me in this test? Because there are amazing lessons. And when you meet people who have really, and the things that when they tell you their story, you hear what they've gone through, you think, subhanAllah, they've been through so much. And then when you actually talk to them, they are the sweetest, purest people, subhanAllah. Why? Because their tests have purified them. Their tests have polished their character, polished their iman, polished their mindset, polished their state of heart, subhanAllah. And that's why some of the best people that we will see in the community are those who have been tested severely. And because there's lessons in every test, and it will ultimately make you, inshallah, a better person. When you're faced with your test, ask yourself, how can I increase my strength and resilience? What do I need to do? What do I need to improve upon? What do I have in my toolkit? What do I need to add to that toolkit? Ask yourself, what do I need to step up in with regards to my iman, my Islam, my knowledge, my da'wah? And this is something that often we don't make enough, giving enough time, effort, and Islamic learning. It has been shelved as something that we do casually, if and when we have time, something that's, you know, almost like a hobby at the end of your list of hobbies, when really our Islamic knowledge should be at the forefront of our lives, navigating our every decision, that as a staple as Muslims, our pursuit in life should be knowledge. Knowledge of what? Our deen. Why? Because the knowledge of our deen is knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more important knowledge or pursuit than this pursuit. Also remind yourself and understand that whatever you're feeling in any given situation, when you're feeling certain emotions, when your iman is being impacted by those emotions, remember that your feelings come from your thoughts. You know, your feelings always, it's a psychological fact that your feelings originate from your thoughts. If you are having feelings of grief, sadness, anxiety, fear, nervousness, worry, all of these states are coming from thoughts that are running in your mind. And you need to keep those thoughts in check. Listen to those thoughts. Observe those thoughts. Are they true? Are they real? Are they about what's going on right now in your life? Or are they bad memories of the past? Or are they false predicting memories of the future? When in reality, we're not living in the past and we're not living in the future, subhanAllah, we're living right now. So to check that your thoughts are connected to your now, because if all these negative feelings you might be experiencing are from traumas from the past or fears of the future, then this is living in a state of delusion. You can't live in memories and predictions. You have to live right now. Today, you are safe. You are well. You have food on the table. You know, you have so much opportunity right now. So be aware of your thoughts and what's going on with your thoughts. And know, just remember, your feelings are coming from your thoughts. So if you don't feel good, find out what you're running in your thought system. Be calm, be the calm in the eye of the storm. A couple more suggestions, inshallah. Be the calm in the eye of the storm. We have tests happening around us, your homes, your families, your community. There's a lot that's going on. There's a lot of movement. The world, there's all this, you know, COVID-19 conspiracies and, you know, so much fear and so much talk and so much drama. Sometimes we have families full of drama. Some of you are going, oh my God, how do you know? Some family, but sometimes your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you to just be the calm in the eye of the storm, that the dramas will continue, but you will be the calm one in the middle if you so choose, inshallah. And that's about not being caught up in the storm. It's about being very centered and very grounded in your iman, in your mindset, in your spiritual soul set, understanding what is going on within you and around you, and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tawakkul, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submission. The situation sucks. It's so hard. I hate it. But you submit that this is from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that qadr is one of the six articles of iman, and what happens was not going to miss you, and what missed you was not going to hit you. This is what you were given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was decreed, and to submit to it rather than to resist it. I submit and I hold my breath and I be beautifully patient and I ride through this test. And the tawakkul, I trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no might or power except with Allah. That this situation was brought to me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ultimately is the one might in any situation, to submit and trust that He is going to map things out according to how they're meant to play out. And your responsibility is to just look after yourself, look after your iman in that test. So tawakkul is like a light in our heart that is a means for us to seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that absolutely nothing else can achieve. If you can find tawakkul, total reliance reliance, trust, dependence on others of closeness. So they're built upon two very important pillars. If you can have tawakkul in your heart, it's built on two very important pillars, is to depend on Allah and to trust in Allah. Depend on Him and trust in Him with your situations, your tests, and your affairs that might tell that nothing will befall us. It's ordained for us. He is our protector. In Allah, that the believers put their trust. So whilst calamities that happen to and around us can cause us massive heartache, we can, inshallah, stay focused on our purpose and our mission here in the dunya. So these tests will be hard. They are not easy. It's someone else's test. If your test feels hard, then it is hard for you, whatever that might be. But ultimately, if you can be strong throughout that heartache and that suffering and that struggle, but still stay, inshallah, focused on your purpose and your mission here in the dunya. And this talk, you know, the title that was chosen was holding on to the rope in difficult times. What is that rope? Right? What is that rope? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Imran, verse 103, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَكُمْ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ of Allah together in our tests and our struggles. That rope is your tie to your iman. That if you let go, if you let loose that grip, that you could lose that trustworthy handhold that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three affairs: that you worship Him and not associate anything with Him in worship, that you hold fast to the rope of Allah, all together united, and do not be divided, and that you give sincere advice to those whom Allah has placed over your affairs. And that's a hadith. And another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever from you lives for long will see a great deal of differing, so stick to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs after me. Hold on to it tightly and bite onto it with your molar teeth. And beware of newly invented affairs in the religion, and every newly invented affair is a bid'ah of Allah. And it's explained that the rope of Allah is the Quran and the Sunnah, that we hold on to the Islamic traditions, the Islamic teachings. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and what is mentioned and explained in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our roadmap for us to be able to stay strong and stay steadfast and to stay on the path. This is our rope, our trustworthy handhold that never breaks, and that we hold on to it together, that we be united in that support. And looking at what, for example, National Zakat Foundation does, is it provides that support. It makes sure that as a community, that whenever we're struggling, especially with financial issues, that we have a trustworthy Muslim handhold to reach out to and to be connected to and to be supported by and connected to the community, so that we don't have to reach out elsewhere, subhanAllah. So this ends my sharing of advices and in difficult times. May our tests and the cause for us to lose our iman, and rather hopefully the tests and the difficult times strengthen our iman, make us stronger, give us greater insight and foresight, and give us a greater awareness of the purpose of our lives and the bigger vision and the bigger picture for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed these tests. And we know why now. We've learned some of the reasons behind why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us, and ultimately there their questions or comments. We'll have a quick now, inshallah. The team will have a look on the different platforms. There's a couple of you tuning in on Zoom. If you guys have any questions, feel free to write them in the chat box. While you guys are writing questions and I'm waiting to hear from you, I'll just mention to you guys that tomorrow night on the National Zakat Foundation page, we also have a session on calculating your zakat. And on Wednesday night is a panel discussing women and paying zakat. Often women think it's okay, my husband takes care of all of that. But in some situations, or you know, it's pretty important for women to know themselves how to pay zakat and to pay their own zakat. I'm sure the husbands will want their women to tune into that session. But for us women to be aware of paying for our own zakat, what are some of the benefits, some of the reasons behind why women maybe don't or haven't been involved in paying their own zakat. So inshallah, some empowering ways of learning about zakat for all of us. I'll just check in if there are any questions coming through. Let's have a quick look. Takeaways from the discussion. Oopsie, I want to hear my own. There's some comments on there. Well, someone said it was cutting out. So apologies if it was cutting out for anyone, but inshallah, it comes out better in the replay. So that's it, inshallah, for us tonight. Jazakallah khairan to anyone, everyone who's tuned in. Be sure to share any of the live streams that you watch that other people can benefit from it as well. There are a whole bunch of talks happening all throughout the week, every week. Inshallah, next Sunday, I'll be having a panel of sisters. I think we're discussing revert journeys because reverts are often closely tied to some of the alhamdulillah support that National Zakat offers. We'll also be discussing when people get married, when someone reverts and gets married, or they revert to get married. So we're going to discuss that, inshallah. That'll be an interesting one. There's been some articles and research on this actual topic, so looking forward to discussing that. Coming or dealing with tests and calamities. So what we've discussed tonight, we're going to have a few sisters discussing how they've navigated their tests, and maybe inshallah they will share with us some of the tests that they have experienced that we might be able to relate to and learn from as well, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, everybody. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us and forgive me for any mistakes. Anything correct is from Allah and anything wrong is from myself and the shaitan.